Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
O Lord my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes. When I sit down and when I rise, and from afar thou art discerning my thoughts and hopes, my secret yearning.
Start off by praying a deck of the rosary. We'll pray the first, third glorious mystery, which is the descent of the Holy Spirit upon Mary and the Apostles. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. The descent of the Holy Spirit upon Mary and the Apostles. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. O my Jesus. You can sit down. A couple of Sundays ago, this rich young man comes up to Jesus and asks him a question. Master, how can I obtain eternal life? And Jesus responded, if you want to attain eternal life, which means if you want to go to heaven, then he says to obey the commandments. And this rich young man looks at Jesus and says, well, I have obeyed the commandments ever since I was small. Then Jesus says, well, if you want to be perfect, if you want to be perfect, then he says, go sell all your possessions and give to the poor, then come and follow me. Then the Bible says that he went away sad because he had many material possessions. And we never encounter that rich young man again in the Bible. Jesus invited him to follow, and he decided not because he was too attached to his material possessions. The most famous saint in the Catholic Church outside the Bible was a rich young man that did the exact opposite. And that's the most famous saint outside the Bible in the Catholic Church, which of course is Saint Francis of Assisi. He was a rich young man, and his father would have been the CEO of Nordstrom's today. Nordstrom's or Macy's or Kohl's. Because his father sold very wealthy clothes, and St. Francis would dress very elegantly. But then what happened was St. Francis left everything. And he ended up by living totally for God, and he became a great saint. Some of you have heard of Padre Pio, who had the stigmata. St. Francis was the first one to have the stigmata 700 years before Padre Pio. Now, what I've done in this class, in other classes, is I'm trying to help all of us to understand the Ten Commandments. Okay, the Ten Commandments. Many of you were with me 5 years ago when you were preparing to make First Communion in Spanish, many of you. Okay? And you learned the Ten Commandments in Spanish. At least you learned them. But now is the time to try to get to know them better. So what I've done is I've written a worksheet on the commandments, and I've written a worksheet on the first commandment and one idea in the first commandment. Honestly, what I could do, I could spend the rest of this year with you, all of you, going through the first commandment. And I would still have more to say. Okay? More to say. So what I've done is I've taken one word, one idea of how you can break that commandment, and I expound upon it. But I think that one word that I've chosen, and the word is idolatry, is a very, very interesting word, and idolatry can be interpreted in many, many ways. You've heard probably the word idol or idolatry. Okay? Idol or idolatry. So we're going to be going into that. Technically speaking, anything has a potentiality of being an idol. Anything. Anything in the world could be a potential idol. Anything. It could be the mirror you look at in the morning. It could be your phone. It could be, you know, one of your friends. It can be your math teacher. It can be the Dodgers. I mean, or it could be the Braves, okay? It could be, you know, your hairdo. It could be your clothes that you wear. It could be the many shoes that you put on. So anything could be an idol, because anything is an idol. It's something that we're going to be placing above God. The nature of idolatry is when you place anything above God. That's an idol. So it could be many, many different things. So, you know, what I've done, I've kind of written a philosophical interpretation, because we have a highly intelligent group here this afternoon. And what I've done is I'm giving you a philosophical interpretation of a mindset of idolatry, because the way you think is the way you act. Okay? Think about this. Before you do something, before you do something physically, you've had it in your mind before. Right? My father would teach us, the thought is the father of the deed. How true. The thought is the father of the deed. What does that mean? Before you do something, you already have conceived it in your mind. So the more we can fill our minds with the truth, the better we're going to be doing actions. And what is an action that you repeat over and over again? It's a vice or a virtue. What is a virtue? A virtue is it's a good habit. What is a vice? It's a bad habit. And then what does a virtue and vice eventually form? It forms your personality. What does it mean to... What does it mean, your personality? That's who you are as a person. Your personality, and then your destiny. Wow. Destiny means where you're going to go at the end of your life. Check the elevator, up or down, right? Depends on which button you hit. No, we want the arrow to go up, not down. So many of our actions that we do come from a false way of thinking. A false way of thinking. So this is going to be a new way of interpreting the commandments, but I think it's going to be much more efficacious than just blurting off the commandments like a parakeet. Okay? Let's go deeper. So if we want to love God, then we have to obey His commandments. Jesus says that very clearly. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, so let's read through my worksheet. The introduction is a page and a half, and then we're going to be, as is my custom, we'll be filling in, and they're like round numbers, so you're going to have, once again, 10, okay? 10 different idols that are prevalent in our modern society. Okay, so let's follow. The first commandment of God's law is the most important of all the commandments. In a real sense, the first commandment is the foundation for all of the rest. Really, whenever we commit a sin, at least implicitly, we are breaking the first commandment. So the first commandment is the foundation. In a building, if you're going to be an architect one day, you're going to be involved in building, what's the most important part of this church and the church, St. Peter Chanel Church? The most beautiful part, I think, is Our Lady Guadalupe and Divine Mercy and the Tabernacle and St. Joseph. The most beautiful artistically. But the most important part is the foundation. Because you got an earthquake here you have in California. We had one about a month ago. It was a 4.2 on the Richter scale in the epicenter. Epicenter was in Carson. That's pretty close. You remember that? It was about 6:30 in the evening. I started singing the Hail Mary. I thought the roof was going to come down on me, no? So if we don't have a solid foundation here, especially in California, you get these earthquakes, the roof is going to come down on your head. You're going to have a big headache, huh? So the first commandment is actually the foundation. It's the foundation of all the other commandments. So in a certain sense, whenever you commit a sin, you're breaking the first commandment. Because you're not putting God first. First commandment is to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So once we place, any person places a thing above God, we're really breaking that first commandment. And as the Bible teaches us, our God is a jealous God. God wants your heart. Not 20% or 30%. He wants 100% of who you are. Always. All times and places. Our God is a loving and He's a jealous God. He wants you. Fully, totally, and unreservedly. Amen? Okay. On one occasion, Jesus was asked, what was the first and greatest of all the commandments? Jesus responded by saying to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then the second is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Luke 10:25-28. Jesus explains the double dimension of the first commandment, love of God and then love of neighbor. Love of God is first and foremost and our first priority, then love of neighbor follows. St. John, in one of his letters, says, how can we say we love God who we don't see if we hate our neighbor who we do not see? So you say you love God, but you hate your neighbor. You don't really love God. So we can't be hating our neighbor and loving God at the same time. They're contradictory. They're diametrically opposed. You love God, you got to love your neighbor. A clear and graphic way to understand the double commandment of love and the first commandment is to contemplate Jesus hanging on the cross. No greater love than to lay down one's life for his brothers and sisters. So if you want to understand what love is, the double dimension of the cross, as you contemplate Jesus suffering and eventually dying on the cross, you notice the two dimensions of love, the horizontal and the vertical. The vertical, you know what that means? Vertical means going up. The horizontal means going out. Okay, vertical, up, horizontal, out. Okay, up, out. The vertical is a relationship with God. The horizontal, a relationship with our brothers and sisters. Sin is related to Jesus suffering on the cross. Before going to confession, it is very helpful to spend some time examining our conscience in front of Jesus crucified and to see our sins being responsible for Jesus suffering and dying on the cross. So before you go to confession, good idea to look at the cross and see Jesus hanging on the cross. And my sins were responsible for him dying. And when we make a good confession, we pull the nails out. Think about it that way. Good confession. You pull the nails out. We sin, we pound them in. We want to pull them out. Idolatry in the first commandment. The practice of idolatry is a clear manifestation of breaking the first commandment. A good definition of idolatry is the following. This is the definition that I've penned. Hopefully you like it. What is idolatry? Placing any person, place, thing, or idea above God. That's a definition of what an idol is. We place any person, place, thing, idea above God, that is idolatry. So this is the nature of idolatry. Any person, place, or thing that I place on a throne in my life above God. Some of you remember Moses in the Old Testament. Remember him? The Ten Commandments? Remember Moses went up on the top of the mountain and he got the Ten Commandments. He came down and he broke the commandments. Here's a question. Who was the first person that broke all the commandments at the same time? Moses, when he broke the commandments, right? He broke all of them at the same time, right? Like that? Okay. A little bit of levity or humor is good for us, right? When Moses came down from the mountain, the Jewish people had constructed a golden calf. Remember that? And they're paying homage and adoring the golden calf. Infuriated at this act of idolatry, Moses smashed the Ten Commandments. Then he pulverized the golden calf, threw the golden dust into the nearby water, and forced the people to drink that water. Wow. They probably had a really, really serious case of diarrhea after that. What do you think? What do you think? So, Modern idols, most likely, if I were to go to your home or your room, you do not have a golden calf enthroned on the pedestal of your hearth or on a shelf in your room. Probably not. So I go to your house and go into your room to bless your room, and you see a big golden calf right there on your table, right next to your computer, no? Or maybe your computer is a golden calf, huh? So remember the definition. Idolatry is placing any person, place, thing, or even idea above God. False ideas, modern idols. Our actions are always preceded by a thought in our mind. So true. Therefore, many of the actions that are idolatrous stem from a wrong, erroneous thought, if you like, an idolatrous thought. Yeah. That's why we come to confirmation, to fill our mind with the truth. Get rid of the false idols. Get rid of them. We want to expel them. We want to decapitate them, huh? In the following, we will list some of the most prevalent, prominent, insidious, but noxious idols, many of which start in the world of the ideas, the world of the thoughts. Let's go for it. Ready? Okay, modern idolatry in our thought process. The first one, write it down, it is materialism. You hear that word? Materialism. So after each one, I'll give you a definition. You've probably heard the word materialism, or when you go to college, you'll study it. Materialism means this: placing material things and possessions above God. Okay, put in parentheses, like the rich young man. Remember I told the story, right? The story of the rich young man. And the opposite would be Saint Francis. So I gave you contrast. The rich young man, he clung to his possessions. St. Francis gave everything away. He gave everything away so he could obtain the greatest possession, which was Jesus himself. So by saying no to these material things, he said yes to the love of God. Yeah. Okay, number two is related to number one, and it's called consumerism. So if you have money, right? So consumerism means buying and consuming things excessively. Buying and consuming things excessively. Okay, the best example that I was able to conjure up to illustrate number one and two is in about a month, in about 5 weeks. Did you ever hear this expression, Black Friday? Never heard of Black Friday, you guys? Where are you living? You're living on another planet? Only Blank has heard of it, huh? I guess you're so absorbed in your phone, you've never heard of Black Friday. Black Friday follows Thanksgiving. That's the day in which the stores open up and there's these huge sales. And people are waiting outside. They're waiting outside as soon as the doors open to rush in. Like a stampede of buffaloes. Did you hear what happened in New York about 10 years ago? You probably don't remember, but it was in New York at a Walmart. They opened up the doors and they rushed in like a stampede of buffaloes, and they stampeded. They walked And they trounced on one of the workers there and they killed the guy. Yeah? You can Google it in. Black Friday tragedy, Walmart, New York City. You're going to see, you'll see like a little YouTube or at least a little article. The worst thing is that the owner of Walmart decided to close the Walmart to grieve for the guy that was killed, and the people said, no, we want to buy, we want to buy, we want to buy, we want to buy, we have a right to buy, and consume. Things are more important than people. Yeah, that's the net result. Things are more important than people. That's the world which we live in today. In the eyes of God, you are more important than the whole created universe. That's how important you are in the eyes of God. Your immortal soul, your body, your whole being is more important than the whole created universe. You don't believe it? Look at the cross and the blood that Jesus shed. He did that for your salvation. You were bought at a very expensive price, the blood of Christ that he shed on the cross for you. So in this society, people place materialism, consumerism, buying, having above the human person. True. And I like literature. Probably the best literary masterpiece, and they made at least 10 movies of this. You've probably seen it. Is written by the greatest novelist. You ever read a novel? Greatest novelist in the 19th century. His name is Charles Dickens. You've heard of him? David Copperfield, Oliver Twist, but also The Christmas Carol. You ever see the movie The Christmas Carol? It came out about probably go 10 times. You ever see it? With Ebenezer Scrooge. Bah, humbug! Remember that? That's a great story because you see this guy. What was he doing? Money, 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 money. Then he had the dream of the ghost of Marley who's taking him out to the cemetery. Look there, sir. His gravestone. Ebenezer Scrooge, when he died, when he was born, when he's going to die, ? And he opens up the window. And the snow is coming down. He sees the boy. Sonny, is the big fat turkey still in the marketplace? Yes, sir. And he buys the turkey and he brings it to Bob Cratchit and Tiny Tim, right? Great movie. But the whole idea there is, what's the idea? Here was a man that was living just for money, 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 money. Then he was confronted to the reality of death, that he was going to die. He decided that there's more joy in giving than receiving. Amen? There's more joy in giving than receiving. Yes. And, you know, we tend to be selfish, but you know from experience, when you're holding on to something and you're stingy, you're egotistic, you're sad. But when you open up those hands to give, that's where true freedom is. True freedom is in giving. And as John Paul II says, we can only recognize who we are when we learn the importance of giving ourselves as a gift to others. Amen? Yeah? Right? We live giving ourselves as a gift to others. That's true happiness. That's why we look at Jesus on the cross. What was a gift? Even every drop of his precious blood for you. How important we all are in the eyes of God. Amen? Okay. The third. It's a new word you're going to learn. Hedonism. Write that down. Hedonism. H-E-D-O-N-I-S-M. None of us can spell well because of the spelling check, right? I used to be a really good speller, and I'm a lousy speller because of that darn spelling check. Hedonism. You know what hedonism is? Hedonism is the god of pleasure. Write that down. The god of pleasure. The god of pleasure. And from this god of pleasure come these American proverbs. American Proverbs. And they are, you got one life to live, live it up. Okay? Eat, drink, and be merry. You got one life to live. It's Miller time! These are all expressions that spring from hedonism. To have as much pleasure in life as possible. What is the opposite of pleasure in life? Is the cross. If you have time today, today we celebrate the North American martyrs. Okay? The North American martyrs. If you just Google in North American martyrs and check out maybe YouTube, barely, these are probably the men that suffered most in the history of our country. They came from France. They settled where I was brought up and raised in New York, in upstate New York. And they wanted to convert, guess who? The Huron and the Iroquois Indians. And they were tortured. They were tortured. One of them had to go back to France and ask the Holy Father permission because the Indians had bit off his fingers. He couldn't celebrate Mass. The Indians bit off his fingers, and then he had to ask the Pope, can I celebrate the Mass without my fingers? Of course you can. And he came back to New York so that he could suffer for these Indians, so that they would eventually become Catholics. So the opposite of hedonism is martyrdom. Okay? So that's the opposite. Martyr would be someone that suffers for Christ. And probably 75% of you, not all of you, some of you are Vietnamese, some of you are Afro-American, but most are Mexicans. Most of you are Mexicans. You know the Cristeros. Did you see the movie of José Luis Sánchez del Río? You ever see that movie? Great movie. Those Cristeros, they suffered a lot. Right, Stella? They suffered a lot. You know, some of them were beheaded. Some were crucified. Some were hung on telephone poles. Those are the greatest people in Mexico. Now, two greatest would be Our Lady Guadalupe and Juan Diego, right? But after that, the Cristeros, they suffered so much. Why? Because the government would not allow them to practice their religion. They said, no, we want to practice our religion. Viva Cristo Rey, que viva la Virgen de Guadalupe, viva la Iglesia Católica. And they died. Where are they now? They're up in heaven with God. Right? They're up in heaven with God. Miguel Pro, one of your favorites. Yeah. Okay, so hedonism. Let's move on to the fourth. We're talking about modern idols. Here's a big one. Atheism. You ever hear the word atheism? No? Atheism. Atheism, how will we deny atheism? Atheism is, right down next to it, it's denying the existence of God. Denying the existence of God. Okay, many of you are in an 8th grade, 9th, 10th grade. Some of you are, that's the age range of most of you. Okay, probably a lot of you will go to college in about 3 or 4 years. Last Sunday, a mother came with her husband and son, asked me what college he should go to. So I would suggest maybe before you make that decision, come to talk with me or one of the priests. You know why? Because I'm older than you. I am. I'm 5 times older than you. Number two is I went to college many years ago. Number three, I come from a family who are very strong in education. Okay? My family is three things: God, family, and education are the three things of the Broom family. Okay? God first, family second, then education third. So I invite all of you maybe come to talk with the priest so we can coach you to make sure that you choose the right college. You hear me? Because, listen, I'm not being negative. Most Catholics, like you, you believe in God now. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Maybe your mom forced you. I don't know. But most of you believe in God. I hope you do. But many, after they finish college here in this country, they no longer believe in God. Some of you probably have an older brother. Maybe you have any older brothers or sisters. Okay, probably if you have an older brother and sister that maybe went to college, I hope it didn't happen. Then they come back after 1 year or 2 years and they start to question whether or not God exists. Should they go to church? What about the Pope? What about the priest? What about the Bible? All these questions. And many of these because in some of the classes, they make fun of the church or they deny God's existence. Okay, so I suggest that all of you, and I want you to write this down next to or below number 4, please see the movie or movies, God is Not Dead. Have any of you seen the movie? What did you think?
It was really good.
Okay. What did you think? What did you think? Did you see, you know there's God is 1, 2, and 3. Did you see the 3? What did you think? So good. Oh, half of you have seen them. I would say see it again, maybe with mom and dad. What's the message is this. The first one is in the philosophy class. Remember with Josh? And the philosophy professor says that God it doesn't exist. God is dead. And then he challenges him. In the first debate, the professor pounds him. Then he studies. And he actually beats the professor. And the professor comes back to believe God. And then he's run over by a car when he's going to the church. But that movie says it all for you now. It came out 10 years ago, but a great movie. So I just warn you, I want all of you to go to college, but I make sure that you maybe talk with us before you go, where you're going to go, because if you're in wrong classes where they're talking against God, you could end up your college, I don't believe in God anymore. And you got a little brother, and you're saying, yeah, God doesn't believe. Don't believe mom and dad. They're just old fogies, no? So, be careful. God does exist. And now some will say, if you just look, I just believe in biology. I just believe in nature. I just believe in, you know, the stable state theory of the universe. I have an older brother who is a back surgeon. He says, if you look out at the universe, God exists. None of these things could happen by chance. Do you know what the sun is? You know what the sun is? It's a star. Did you know that? It's a medium-sized star. What would happen if the sun were further away from us? Freeze to death. How about if it were closer? We'd burn to death. The fact that the sun is at that distance, in which it warms us, okay? And the fact that it doesn't burn us to a crisp, or it's too far away, we're going to freeze. That order of the sun and the universe points to the existence of God, among many other things. Among many other things. So, be aware of the fact that atheism is a false thought process which many people have as an idolatry in their minds. Okay? So, we're talking about idolatry in our minds, okay? Let's move on. Number 5 would be, okay, we've probably all fallen into this. Superstitions. You ever hear the word superstitions? They could be small or big. Okay, if you want to see a classical place of superstition, drive down Juan Avenue and you got McDonald's. Ever been to McDonald's in Hawaiian Gardens? No? How about if you cross the street? Anyone here from Hawaiian Gardens or Lakewood? What do you have crossing the street? You have a psychic reader. See a big hand there? It says psychic reader. You ever see that? $5 special. What is that? Curandero. Adivino. Un brujo. Huh? Yeah. What is that? It's all superstition. What do they do there? They're going to be reading your hand. They're going to be reading your palm. Then what are they going to do? They're going to be looking into a crystal ball. What else? Some of you speak Spanish, Una Limpia. Some of you speak Spanish, Una Limpia. You know what that is? They take an egg, put on you to expel the bad spirit. Then they'll splash you with water, get rid of the bad spirits. That lady or guy has been here. I've been here for 27, 28 years. It's still open. That means she's making money. Why $5 special? It's bait to get in. The next time it's going to be 10, 15, 25, 50, jack it up to 100. Why are they going to be talking about your love life? Ah, tu amorcita. Your love life. I can see. Oh, you're going to meet un novio guapito. Okay, that'll be $10. And I'll tell you what he's going to look like. Come back. Il novio guapito. He's going to be from Michoacan, and he's going to be a tall, handsome. Okay, come back next week. But when am I going to meet him? Come back next week. I'll tell you. You're going to meet him in between the next year and a half in a very special place, a psychedelic place where there's beautiful music. Oh. Come back next time. $100. Before you know it, your pocket is empty. Yeah, they play on your emotions when you're in it. When you're sad, you play on your emotions. When you're sad, they can take all of your money away and be laughing at you behind their back. That muchacho, what a tontita, what a dummy. That's what they're thinking behind the back. I could be one of those guys. Are you kidding? Long beard. The psychedelic music of the 60s in the background, a little bit of white smoke, no? Yeah, I'll tell you what you want to hear, and then give me $100. Thank you. See you next week. So these are superstitions. There are other superstitions. You know the difference between white magic and black magic? Ever heard that? White magic, black magic? White magic would be using certain objects to give you good luck. Do you have in your back pocket, do you have a rabbit's foot? Oh, good. Do you have a horseshoe in your back pocket? Mm-hmm. I know you have a four-leaf clover, right? Because you got Irish blood, right? None of you have that. But that's superstition. Oh, the number 13. Did you know in New York you have these buildings, high skyscrapers that have the 12th floor and the 14th floor, but there's no 13th floor? Why? People don't want to sleep on the 13th floor because they believe 13 is a bad number. You're probably laughing at this, but people really believe that. 13 is mala suerte, it's bad luck. No such thing as bad numbers. If you want to get me angry, say, good luck, Father Broom, buena suerte. You know why? I don't believe in luck. I believe in divine providence. God knows how many hairs you have on your head. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. Did you count them yesterday? Probably not. When a hair falls off your head, God knows exactly where it fell. You know, not in the Bible. Jesus says that. You girls, you've got more hair than we men. God knows how many hairs you have on your head. When the wind blows one off, there it is in Delamo. God knows where it is. So we don't believe in good luck. We believe in God's providential presence in our lives. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's number 5. Superstition is, you might define, as placing trust in things and objects above God. You might put in parentheses the famous psychic reader that you have there on Juan and Carson. Okay, number six is a toughie, but it has to be said. Buckle your seatbelts now. Satanism. Yeah. Satanism. You ever hear that word, Satanism? Satanism. Okay, right now, Satanism is worshiping the devil. Yeah, did you know there are Satanists out there today? There are. Satanists. I know all of you come from a very different culture that I was brought up and raised, but I was brought up and raised in what is called the classical rock and roll time. None of you have ever heard of the Beatles, have you? Oh, yeah? Oh. You never heard of the Rolling Stones, have you? Oh, yeah. The two most famous rock and roll groups in the world, no? The Rolling Stones with Mick Jagger, they're still together after 50 years. The Beatles split up around 1970, then John Lennon was actually shot and killed in Central Park, New York in 1980. But the Rolling Stones composed a song, and the name is Sympathy for the Devil, yeah, where he's praising the devil. This is Mick Jagger. Yeah. You ever hear of the rock and roll group Kiss? K-I-S-S? You know what that means? Knights in Satan's Service. Yep. K-I-S-S. Any of you ever see the movie The Exorcist? Did you? Scary, isn't it? I saw that many years ago, and it scared the living daylights out of me. I couldn't sleep that night, no? Woke up, But it's based on a real story, okay? But do you remember why that girl became possessed, Reagan? When you watch a movie, you don't follow the plot. The girl starts off by playing the Ouija board, Loika. Now, don't tell me you haven't heard the Ouija board. She's playing the Ouija board, and then she starts to act really weird. You have the couple of exorcists that come in, and they're going in. The mother comes in the door there. She's floating in the air. Floating in the air. She opened up the door by playing the Ouija board. And probably some of you have played the Ouija board. Never do that again. You probably have some friends at a party. Hey, come on here. Get the board there and start to move back and forth. Hey, let's call in these spirits. The devil can get into you if you do that. So don't play around with the devil. Maybe, no, you remember 4 years ago, Charlie, remember that? You remember? Putting a couple of pencils together and invoking. Not to say that you're going to be possessed by the devil, but you don't want to open up your door to the devil. God is stronger than the devil, but you start to play with the devil. St. Augustine says the devil, any of you ever see a pit bull? Yes, my older brother when he's angry. No, it's not that. No, my older brother when he's angry, a human pit bull. No, a pit bull can be a very angry dog, right? St. Augustine says the devil is like a pit bull on a chain. If the chain is 20 feet, and you come with, and you're 50 feet away, no problem. But if the chain is 30 feet and you come 15 feet within the pit bull, what's going to happen? You're dead meat. You're dead meat because you're playing around with him. So don't play around with the devil. The devil's like a pit bull on a chain. Don't play around with him. Because he can wreak havoc within your life. Yeah. God is more powerful than the devil, but don't play around with him. Okay, so that's another modern idol that people are, in this country, they're actually starting to build statues in honor of Satan in certain cities. And I think it's in San Bernardino already, they're having after-school groups in honor of Satan in San Bernardino, not too far away from us, right? Riverside County. Yeah, we can't talk about God, but we can honor Satan. Isn't that terrible? We can't talk about God. No, you can't do that in the public school system. No. You're going to get in trouble. But you can talk about Satan. That's where we're heading in this world. That's why your salvation is your parents and the church here. This is your safeguard. Never leave church. The church has got problems. The church has always had problems. Stay in the church. The church has got problems. But the best thing you can do, become a saint. Amen? Yeah. Right, Blanca? Yeah. You gotta become a saint. Don't criticize. And when you're pointing your finger at me, you're pointing three fingers at yourself. Try it. You got one finger at me, but the other three you're pointing at yourself. St. Augustine says, the less we examine our conscience, the more we criticize and condemn others. But if we examine our own conscience, we recognize we're the ones that have to change our lives. Okay, let's move on. Here is another modern idol. Alcoholism. That is placing drinking and getting drunk above God. Traditionally, the most difficult times in our country are during what's called the holiday season. And that would be in about a month from now, all the way up until the middle of January. Because that's when a lot of people start to party and they start to and then they start to drive when they're drinking, and what happens? Accidents. Years ago, I don't know if you ever noticed that on Carson and Coyotes, right before Coyotes, they had this crashed car and they had a big sign, drinking and driving don't mix. I like that. Says a lot. Yeah, this crashed car, it was right from Thanksgiving up until New Year's, and someone placed that there to remind people, look, if you're going to drink, if you're going to drink and get drunk, don't drive. Because you're placing your life in jeopardy and you're placing the life of others in jeopardy. Okay. Number 8. I'm going to mention now probably definitely the biggest addiction in the country, and it's becoming a modern idol and a modern drug. Write it down, is pornography. And all of you know that in your mind, but I have to say it. You're using your phone, you're using your iPad, you're using the computer. You got to be very, very careful, because you can become addicted to that almost overnight. And the addiction is more powerful than cocaine. The doctors tell you. Yeah. So in that, you have to be very strict with yourself. And I said, you should talk with your parents about your electronics media usage. If I were your biological father, I'd be really tough with you. I probably wouldn't give you a phone. So you're finishing high school. Because if you put in the balance, the good and the bad that can come out of it, the temptation to commit sin is so powerful, and you could lose your soul. You're here to get to heaven, right? So you've maybe never heard anyone speak so clearly about it now, but you've heard me. Because I'm your teacher and I'm your priest, and my obligation is to get you to heaven. You hear me? I don't care if you have a long life, a lot of money. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven more than you want to go there. We don't want to lose our souls. We've got one life to live. And we want to make sure that we love God and we get to heaven. Amen? So be keenly aware of that temptation. We live in a world of images, right? Instagram, YouTube, photos, pictures. We live in a world of images. When I was your age, it was a world of books. I was brought up with books, classical books. So there's another modern idol. Modern idol. So you might even examine your use of electronics media, and if you're abusing it, be converted. Let's change today. And use everything for the honor and glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
Everything for the honor and glory of God. Amen, huh? Okay, number 9 would be drug abuse. Oh, these are idols. These are idols. Drug abuse. I insist that all of you should have a friend or two. It's good to have a friend. It's good to have a friend. But how do you define friendship? Have any of you ever heard of the philosopher Aristotle? Have you? Aristotle is the greatest Greek philosopher. He defines friendship as commonality of interests. I don't fully agree with Aristotle in that sense. Commonality of interest means you share the same interest. I don't really agree with that because you know why? Cholos, they've got the same interest, right? What do they want to do? They want to beat up other cholos. They want to steal. They want to put graffiti, you know? You say that. For me, the definition of a true friend is someone is a bridge to Jesus Christ, your best friend. Amen? So a true friend is someone that helps you to become a better friend of Jesus Christ. That's a true friend. And one day, if you get married, make sure that you marry someone that's going to be a bridge between heaven and earth for you and your children. You hear that? You're not going to even get married tomorrow, maybe in 10 years. Remember that, no? You want to choose someone that's going to help you to get to heaven and your children to get to heaven. Yes. You probably think about the four B's, right? I want someone who's got brains, brawn, big bucks. Huh? Okay. No, someone that's going to help you to get to heaven. Brains, brawn, and big bucks, Billy, huh? Okay, let's finish with the last. Last modern idol is rationalism. Rationalism and science as a god. Rationalism and science is a god. Do any of you know the difference between faith and reason?
Well, faith is something that you believe in, like you don't have to prove it. And what was the other one?
Reason.
Reason is like it has to be proven or else you won't ever believe in it.
Pretty good. Pretty good, yeah. It's a good definition. I would even say this. Faith is related to believing in God, okay? Reason is using your intelligence. But a lot of people have said that the Catholic Church separates faith and reason. Quite the contrary. Faith goes beyond reason, but it doesn't contradict reason. And Thomas Aquinas points out, if you use reason, your intelligence, that does point to God. And if you look at the order, the beauty of the universe, who's behind that? The author of beauty is God Himself, right? So, those who just take reason as an end in themselves, that also can be a god. So I've given you 10 different philosophical systems that can be potential idols. So let's pray that we'll be able to fill our minds with the truth. and the truth will set us free. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Any announcements? Okay, good.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.